This is the Savvy Traveler. I'm Rudy Maxa. After losing his mother to cancer, Paul Allen Cox took his wife and two daughters and set off for the Samoan rainforest in search of cancer remedies and healing plants. He spent a year there as a recipient of a National Science Foundation Award and has written a memoir about the experience called Nafanua, Saving the Samoan Rainforest, which describes his intense involvement with the Samoan people and his efforts to preserve their environment. He joins us here today. Paul, let's clear something up first. What does Nafanua mean? Is it a place, an expression?
Nafanua is the name of an ancient goddess who came out of the sea to help the Samoans save their forest and taught them to protect it. And for some strange reason, the villagers felt that I was imbued with the spirit of this ancient goddess and gave me that name, Nafanua.
Now, there are a lot of rainforests on this planet, fortunately still. Why did you choose the rainforests of Samoa?
When my mother died, I really wanted to do what I could to try fight breast cancer. As an ethnobotanist, I knew that about 25% of all our prescription drugs come from plants. I spoke Samoan because of a missionary experience when I was a 19-year-old in Samoa for the Mormon Church. I wanted very much to see if I could use my language skills and experience there in discovering new healing plants.
Did you know what you were going to look for when you went there?
I wanted to visit with the healing women. They're called Talase in their culture, and see if they had any plants that could be used against breast cancer.
Describe for me the Samoan rainforest. What's it like?
It's very gentle. If you think of all the scary images you've seen of jungle in the movies, and try to take instead something very peaceful, gentle, the soft cooing of pigeons, a sort of a feeling of openness, very much like a redwood grove with the trees towering up, large twisted cables like of lianas, like some sort of industrial steel linking the trees, a soft fern and moss. It's the sort of place that if you see it, you'd like to walk and remove your shoes and go barefoot.
Did it rain often?
It rains every day.
Every day for a long time or just short bursts?
Short bursts, and it's quite amazing because it can be perfectly sunny and clear, and within half an hour you can be completely drenched. But then again, the sun comes out.
As an American, you almost can't hear the word rainforest without thinking of the phrase destruction of rainforests. Did you see impending destruction of the Samoan rainforest while you were there, or is it blessedly off the beaten path?
After we'd found some plants that showed intense interest with the National Cancer Institute, the loggers showed up and started cutting down the forest. The chiefs and children were weeping. It looked very much like a nuclear detonation. This isn't singing axemen with their double-bladed instruments. These guys show up like landing craft in large boats and bulldozers.
Was that ongoing when you left?
Well, fortunately, we were able to work together with the village to kick the loggers out. So together we developed a plan to essentially buy out the logging rights from the loggers, remove them from the land, and together with the villagers set the forest up as a nature preserve.
Is this the place that tourists go to? Can anyone visit?
At this point, yes. We've built an aerial walkway through the rainforest. It goes up a banyan tree. It looks like the treehouse from Swiss Family Robinson, which is one of my favorite movies. And the villagers have tried to do this to raise funds for keeping the rainforest alive instead of cutting it down. And so far, it's been very successful for the village.
It sounds idyllic, but I know there was danger as well. Would you read that passage on page 191?
This passage refers to an evening when we were asleep in our folly. I woke to the sound of Mary crying. It was about 2 a.m. "What's wrong?" I asked Barbara. "Mary says she's a little wet," Barbara said. "Isn't Mary old for that sort of thing?" I said with some irritation. "It's probably Hillary who's had an accident." "Well, I think Hillary's too old for it as well." I shined the flashlight over on their mosquito net to make sure that everything was all right. I swung the flashlight back to put it under my pillow, but just as I turned it off, it illuminated a soccer ball-sized chunk of brain coral that lay dripping at the edge of the hut near our sleeping mat. "Whatever is that doing in here?" I groggily wondered. "The sea is over 300 meters away. I didn't bring it here, and the children know better than to break off any pieces of coral." I was still contemplating the mystery of the coral when the next tidal wave hit our folly. At the end of the 3 days, There were large concrete water tanks that had been flung up on the top of trees, fish a mile inland. Everything was swept away except for this little school that I helped build, and it just so happened that was the highest ground in the village. So there were 600 of us packed into this little school, and we survived.
Leaving aside tidal waves, would you recommend Samoa as a place for tourists to visit?
Absolutely. I've been all over the South Pacific in my work, and Samoa is one of these places that's almost too lovely to continue to exist. The Samoan people themselves are lovely. Their culture is built around hospitality, foreigners.
Where do you fly to get, and where do you fly into? What's the largest airport?
You can fly into Pango Pango in American Samoa, frequent connections from Honolulu, or you can fly into Apia, Western Samoa, from Honolulu or from Auckland, New Zealand.
You talk about the hospitality of the locals. And was there an experience that you had that that might have changed the way you saw the world? I know you were sick at some point, and someone brought you Western food?
When I was 19 down there learning the language, every night a chief would walk about 8 miles to come down and sit with me and repeat what seemed to me unintelligible phrases over and over. But I became very, very ill, had a high fever, and one night he came down, I couldn't even sit up from the mat. I said, "I'm sorry, I can't have our lesson today." He said, "Oh, I didn't come for that." He pulled out this green woven coconut basket, poured it out on the mat, and out came tinned condensed milk, corned beef, crackers. It was clear that this man had taken all the money he had, went down to the local trader, and bought anything he could see that was imported. "Here," Almalosi said to me, "this is food from where you came from. Perhaps you're sick because you're not used to our food. Eat this." I was so touched. I'd never had anybody give me everything they had before, and I've been working the last 20 years to pay off the contents of that single coconut basket.
Paul Cox's new book is called Nafanua, Saving the Samoan Rainforest.